Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and open them up to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, if you would. And once you find your place there in Mark chapter 15, stick a hand in there in Mark 15 and turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Mark chapter 15. Then over to Acts chapter 7. Then if you've got a third hand, go over to the book of James chapter 4, all right? James chapter 4. Now, Brother Blanton, they're going to get excited because that's not the three verses I gave them, but we're going to use all three that I gave them, but then we're going to use a different one. Now we're going to go, all right, so Mark chapter 15, Acts chapter 7, and then James chapter 4, all right? So if you'll turn to those places, and we'll read some verses here, just one verse in each place. First of all, there in Mark chapter 15, if you will look at verse 10. The Bible said, "For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy." Envy. Acts chapter 7, all right? Acts chapter 7. Look, if you will, at verse 9. "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him." Then turn there in Acts again to chapter 13. You said, what happened to James? Nothing, he's sitting right out there, all right? We'll get to the book of James here in just a minute or two, all right? Just wanted you to have a heads up for getting there. And I didn't figure it'd be hard to go from Acts 7 to Acts 13, all right? Acts 13, verse 45, but the Bible said, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Now, we're going to speak to you tonight about envy. Envy, all right? Envy. That the green-eyed monster has been causing problems for multiplied thousands of years. I mean, it's just over and over with. There's a problem, and there's a reason, all right? And if you got James, this is where we want to go to James chapter 4. There's a reason for it. James 4, verse 5, the Bible says, "Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" The spirit that lurks within all of us, that old man, and that old man, that flesh, the Bible said, lusteth to envy, all right? Envy. Envy is one of those things that most of us say, "I don't have a problem with that." But then you begin to look closer, maybe you do, all right? And the one thing I've seen about envy kind of can sneak up on you, you know? It's one of those things that can just, when you're not, you know, expecting it or anything, it just kind of creeps in, and we begin to, even not on purpose, and even maybe sometimes not really thinking about it very much, we begin to envy someone little by little until we find ourselves with a real major problem, all right? Well, that problem of envy, and now, it can creep like that, but on the other hand, it can just erupt because of circumstances maybe or situations that come upon us and we have to deal with, and because of them, we wind up envying somebody else, you know. I want to speak about being wise about envy. Envy is that desire to have what is not ours, to have the spirit. Excuse me, it's the desire to have that which is not ours to have. Or the spirit that grudges others the possessions of maybe anything that's denied to us. That's envy, all right? That's it. A desire to have what's not ours, but somebody else has it. And we hold a grudge against somebody else because they have something that for whatever reason seems like we can't have, all right? We just can't have. That's envy. Envy can destroy families. It can separate siblings. They can get envious of one another. It can destroy friendships. And unchecked, boy, if you turn it loose, it can cause all kind of harm and hurt to people, all right? All kind of harm and hurt. And you say, well, what do we envy? Well, there's all kinds of things we envy. Sometimes we envy God's approval. So what do you mean? I think that was part of Cain's trouble with Abel. He envied God's approval on what Abel had offered and caused problems, caused him to rise up and kill his brother. We envy people, envy possessions. We want, well, I wish I had that. I just wish I had something like that, and it's just not fair to have something like that, and why can't I have it, all right? And how come they get all the good things? You say, man, nobody ever feels that way. Oh, come on. We sometimes do. Hey, preachers sometimes envy other preachers because of the attendance of the other pastor's church. We envy people, all right? We envy people. Hey, King Ahab, remember him? He wanted that vineyard that belonged to Naboth, tried to negotiate a deal for it. Now, hey, Ahab already had a vineyard, but he wasn't happy. He envied the one Naboth had. I kind of look at that like envying somebody else's beautiful, well-manicured lawn. Well, they probably work like all get out to get it, you know? I like to look at other people's well-manicured lawn and everything's just in the right place and it's beautiful. And then I think about what they had to do to get it, and I don't want it. But sometimes there's instances in the Bible where there was envy because of bearing children. Rachel envied Leah. Boy, it caused problems in their house. Leah was having children and Rachel wasn't having any and caused a lot of problems. There's envy of prosperity. Back in the book of Genesis, Laban's sons, do you remember that account where Jacob left home, went to Laban's, and he was working and he found more wives than he wanted, but man, God blessed him, and so he kept making a deal with Laban about which of the flock would be his. And sometimes he said, well, I tell you what, if they're spotted, they're mine. If they're not, they're yours. And boy, it just seemed like all they did is produce spotted offspring. And then Laban said, hey, that ain't right. Let's change. And Jacob said, okay, you take the spotted. But whatever we did, it was God was blessing. And man, it made Laban's sons very envious of the prosperity of Jacob. A lot of people are envious of people's prosperity. There's envy of popularity. Said who in the Bible? King Saul. Envious of the popularity of David. King Saul heard the women saying and singing, hey, Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. Saul got envious of him because the popularity that he had. Then there's the envy of favoritism. Joseph's brothers envied the special treatment that Joseph got. They envied that, all right? Hey, you can envy all kinds of things, all right? And people envy folks for the weirdest things sometimes, all right? But the Bible warns us specifically about envying some things. Take your Bible back to Proverbs chapter 3, would you? I want you to see specifically God warns us and says, make sure you don't envy this, all right? Proverbs chapter 3. Look down at verse 31, would you? Proverbs 3, verse 31. Interesting verse. The Bible says, envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Envy thou not the oppressor. Hey, Bible tells us don't envy the thug. Don't envy the bully. Now, it is easy for us, and we might be prone to think, man, Lord help, I'd never do that. Let me ask you a question. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, nod your head, or say amen. But have you ever been bullied? Have you ever been somebody, oppressing you some way, somehow? You ever had that experience? I guarantee you, if you've ever had that, the thought has crossed your mind, it would be good to be on the other side of it. It would be good to be on the other side of that bullying. Now, I didn't say you wanted to do it, but I'm just telling you, it can happen easily. It's one of those things that we, a lot of things in the Bible, we look at and we read and we think, never happened. I mean, that never happened to me. But you get too overconfident. Don't let that happen to you. Don't get overconfident. You say, well, I'm way past that. Nah, you're still alive. Still alive. Be careful, okay? So the Bible said, don't envy them. Look in Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. The Lord again warns us about some that we're not to envy. And I guarantee you, there's where people and God's people have trouble here. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Look in chapter 24, verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Same chapter, down to verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. At the wicked. The Bible warns us, hey, you need to be careful. Now, once again, I say, wait a minute, preacher, we'd never do that. But I want to point out to you, it's the wicked sinner that the world normally tends to exalt. It's the sinner, it's the evil one that the world tends to exalt. They're often praised, and oftentimes they're praised because of their sin. Oftentimes, that's where it's brought about, all right? They're lifted up. They're interviewed on television. They're glorified. And some of them are even worshipped, okay? I mean, that happens. You say, well, God's people never do that. It never ceases to amaze me how the world affects God's people. And how people in the world draw the attention and the adulation of God's people. It never ceases to amaze me. Used to, I in working with teenagers, you dealt with that a lot, okay? You would deal with that a great deal. But I found that when you're no longer a teenager, you still have the problem. We tend to envy what they have or what they are or what they're doing, okay? Kind of the rich and famous type deal. We have that envy. We would like maybe to have that popularity. We would like to have that fame. And we begin to envy it. We begin to look and say, why can't I have that? Well, the Bible warns us, you don't envy not that crowd. Don't envy them. The truth of the matter is, they really have nothing that's worth having. They really have nothing that's worth having. Because what they have pales in comparison to the sorrow that many of them endure day after day. Day after day. Just think about the popularity. The popularity part of it. The fame and fortune cause people to envy others. You know, people envy them. I two instances I can think of. One's Elvis Presley. Man, there was an envy and an adulation of him. But yet he couldn't go out in public or they'd have pulled him apart. And you notice a lot of the famous people that so many people envy, they have to kind of disguise themselves to get out in public, or they'll be just, you know, jumped on and hounded to death. Princess Diana, right? She wound up getting killed, chased by a paparazzi. What a way to live your life, you know? Oh man, I wish I could live like that. Not me. I don't want to live like that. Well, I want to live my life having to run from everybody. And the only time, in the case of Elvis, the only time he could go do something is in the middle of the night, and he'd have to buy out wherever he was going, all right? And it's just him and his group that would go. And you say, well, that'd be a great way to live. You better think about that a little bit. You better stop and think about that a little bit. The Bible warns us, Envy not the wicked, all right? Envy not the wicked. Don't envy that crowd. It's not as good. Hey, if their life is so wonderful, if their life is so great, why do so many of them have to make repeated stays in drug and alcohol rehab? Why? Man, they got the life. They're living the life. Everybody envies. Everybody wants it. Well, why do they have to spend so much time in those places? Why is it that very few of them know what it is to enjoy a long, happy marriage? Very few. Rare individuals. Rare individuals. I was one morning, I was trying to find some weather, I think. And I turned on the TV and I was looking, and they were talking about, I don't really know who they were talking about, but if I'd have known the name, it wouldn't have mattered. I wouldn't have known who they were. But I think they're singers, and they were talking about, the way I was understanding, the singer had broken up with somebody, and they were wondering, oh, is this going to result in a song? You know, so is this going to be a new song coming out? Hey, what a deal to live your life, and it's all about the heartbreak and the trouble and the problems. Man, who wants that? Who wants that? People like that. We envy them. Hey, God's people shouldn't envy that group. You shouldn't have envy of them. Why? Hey, the truth of the matter is our envy usually gets among people we know. We begin to envy one another. We envy somebody and we think, well, they just seem to get all the attention. I've said before as a pastor, the best thing, if the preacher hasn't been to your house lately, it's a good thing. That means you haven't been in the hospital. You haven't had a death in the family, all right? It's a good thing. We need to be real careful about envying, all right? We begin to envy people. And I said it's a thing that starts out slow. We envy one another. And maybe, you know, you feel like, well, they're getting a little more position in the church. And they, well, hey, be careful about envying. Don't let it do it, because it works on you. Look in chapter 14 of Proverbs, would you? Look what it does to you. This is what the Bible says envy does to you. Now, and I'm thinking, a lot of us sitting here tonight thinking, preacher, I got no problem with this. Be careful. Be careful, it'll slip up on you. Proverbs 14:30, the Bible said, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. The rottenness of the bones. Envy is something. I wrote down in my notes to remember that old sarcastic saying that used to be said, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clean to the bone. Hey, let me say this. Envy starts on the inside and rots you out. It's rottenness in the bone. It goes deep. Goes deep into you, all right? It can affect your health, because real envy gets going and it creates a bitterness in a person's heart, all right? Creates a bitterness in their heart. And somebody has said this, envy eats nothing but its own heart. I think there's a lot of truth in that. Envy will just eat you out, all right? From the inside out. It works on you. It causes the bitterness to rise. And you say, well, how bad can it be? Proverbs 27, all right? Proverbs 27, here's how bad it can get. Proverbs 27, look at verse 4. An unusual verse, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Envy. You said, how bad does it get? It gets this bad, all right? Anger is one of those things that oftentimes erupts and it comes along, but we cool down. We cool down and we'll cool off, all right? But envy, not that way. Envy takes it a lot further, all right? envy continues to bubble for a long time within you. And it just re-erupts and gets worse maybe when you see that one that you're envious of. Or those two or three or five, all right? That you're envious of, it comes, you know. There's no logic to it. There's no logic to envy whatsoever. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. We envy somebody of something. Oh, man, I wish I had that brand new car. But do you want the car payment that goes with it? No, I don't want that. But if somebody'd pay for it, I'd try. Yeah. I mean, that's what I say. Envy just doesn't have any logic. Envy doesn't have any logic. Doesn't think. Oftentimes people, and I think in our country we juggle this thing, and some people try to pit one class against another, and everything is said about the rich, and to get us, we, you know, talking about the rich, and we'll take their money, don't take our money, and we think, well, I'm envious of that. How much trouble do they have? Even those that win big lotteries, look at the trouble that comes with them. So many of them, lives devastated. Hey, there's no logic to the envy of saying, I wish I had that. Wait a minute, you want the problems that go with it? We don't want that, but we're going to have to put up with it. Hey, we envy people, and no logic, no mercy at all within it, all right? Anger can blind you for a short period of time, but envy can permanently poison an individual. Just absolutely poison you. Where you're not, nobody wants to be around you because it's created that bitterness in you. Nobody wants to be around that individual like that. Always envious of somebody else. And if anybody says something about, well, man, God's been good. Yeah, but they don't deserve it. What do we deserve? Hell, you know. God's good to us, what he gives. Don't envy people, all right? Don't do that. Now, let me just give you just a few things we'll be done. I think there's some things that you can do that'll put the brakes on envy and even keep it from coming up, all right? Look at Proverbs 23. We read this verse just a while ago, all right? And Proverbs 23, verse 17, we emphasize the first part, let not thine heart envy sinners. And we shouldn't. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Hey, you want to help yourself promote the fear of the Lord instead of promoting when you're tempted to envy. Now, you know when that envy, normally you know when that first little bit of envy comes. We look at somebody and that thought crosses our mind, hey, they don't deserve. Be careful. Be careful. Why does that come to them? Hey, just hang in there. Instead, promote your relationship with God. Promote your relationship with the Lord. It should be a lot more important to you than what somebody might have that you don't think they deserve as much as you deserve it. You may not think they deserve it. Well, wait a minute. Your relationship with the Lord's more important than that. Our relationship with God, our relationship with our Savior, ought to override everything else. We ought to be more concerned with that than some little petty deal where we want to envy somebody else. You know, their new vehicle, or their new home, or their new job, or their seemingly sudden popularity. Hey, our relationship with the Lord is more important than that. Now, I don't mean by that go, well, humph, I'd rather be close to God. No, you already got problems, okay? You already got problems if you go there. Hey, but cultivate, if you will, a constant sense of the presence of God. Cultivate that sense, constant presence of God all the time. We need to dwell on that, all right? He's present in us. We never escape from him. Never escape. I don't know what kind of parents you had, But I had parents, if I knew they were watching, I guarantee you I acted differently than I might have if I didn't think they were watching. I've seen kids turn to see if. I think of many times in school, kids turn and I go, you know, I knew what they had thought, knew where they were thinking. Hey, you know what? We need to cultivate within ourselves a constant sense of the presence of God. He's with us, worshiping God, communing with Him all the day long. You know what? That ought to keep us well occupied. We don't have time to have thoughts of envy because we're too busy just enjoying the fellowship with the Lord. You say, preacher, you mean that? Well, yeah. What kind of relationship to have with Him? You just meet Him when you show up at church? I hope not. Hope that's not the only relationship you have. Well, just want to come to inside the building here, you know. No, man, it ought to be a constant thing. The songwriter put it this way, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Hey, every day, all day long, cultivate that, you know. Hey, if you find yourself still dealing with it, third thing you'll do is get busy helping somebody who's struggling in life. Amen. Find somebody that's struggling and get busy helping them. So what's that going to do? You'll be too busy to envy the person that seems to have it all. You'll be too busy. You'll be doing something good. You'll be doing something worthwhile. You'll be trying to accomplish something that'll be a blessing to somebody else instead of throwing your pity party for yourself because you're envious about somebody else. You know, there's multitudes of people I wish I could play the piano like they could. But there's no sense in me sitting around envying that to the point where I don't like them. Amen. How foolish is that of us? Now, I love Ms. Noble's piano playing. But there's something I can do she can't do on the piano. I can read the music. She can't read the music. All right? She can't do it. Now, I can read it. I can't always put my fingers on it. But I can read it. All right? I know where they ought to be. And I can usually tell real quick when they don't land where they're supposed to. When I was younger, I used to want to play the trumpet. So I'm bitter now against... There you go, Matthew. I'm just bitter, you know. That's why you can't come to the men's cookout. Bitter. Hey, you know, what'd be the sense in that? What'd be the sense in that? Hey, go find somebody that's having a tough time. And decide, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. You get your life involved in doing something for somebody else. You don't have time to spend envying that person that you think seems to have it all. Just don't have time to do it. Hey, by the way, if you hang around long enough and watch, you'll find out they don't have it all. Some of them lose it all because they get so overextended financially. They lose everything. Everything. Hey, don't get envying somebody. Remember this, folks. Envy is a choice. You choose to envy somebody. It's not thrust upon you. It's not forced on you. You choose to do it. You choose to do it. It is a choice you make. And you make that choice. And there's no reason. You don't have to be jealous of somebody else. You don't. You just don't have to be jealous of them. Serves no purpose. Will not help you. By the way, it won't hurt them. It'll hurt you. It's a choice. Don't make that choice. Be wise about this thing called envy. Listen, you let envy get in a local church and it can destroy it from within just because we get envious of each other. Just that little thing called envy. Wish I had that. No. Listen, you spend some time cultivating your relationship with the Lord, you don't have time to envy. And you won't want to envy. You don't want. I have found most people don't really envy somebody that really has a closer walk with God. Most people don't envy that. Now they may say, well, I wish I had one. Yeah, but you don't envy it. You don't envy. We envy those things that are not important. Those things that one of these days are going to be left right here. They're going to be left right here. Not going anywhere. Don't allow that to happen to you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for your goodness to us. And thank you, Lord, because you've